This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, here with laryngitis, here introducing today's program. Please keep me in your prayers today that this old boy be ready to go on Sunday. So, lost my voice at church on Wednesday night, and as far as I'm concerned, there's no better place to lose it than at church preaching. So we're going to hear part two now of this message that just started yesterday. I've entitled it The Grapes of Wrath. That's where the John Steinbeck novel, The Grapes of Wrath, the song, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord, all comes from this chapter in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 14. This weekend, I'm inviting you out to church. Would love to see you at Island Community Church. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. We are in the book of Galatians, the end of chapter 1 and chapter 2 this weekend. So looking forward to seeing you. Enjoy this message now. This is going to wrap up this sermon here, The Grapes of Wrath.
And now here in Revelation, the time of harvest has arrived. But let me first finish what the Lord said about this. From Matthew 13, starting in verse 40. He says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and he will gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you hear that? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. If you do have ears, you'll make sure that you're not regarded as a grape of wrath, only to be crushed by the angels at the end of the age. See, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, because not everyone's going to hear this. Not everyone's going to understand this. And not everyone's going to care about this. That there is coming a time of judgment, he said. At the end of the age, the angels are going to separate the just and the unjust. Matthew 25, they separate, is another parable of the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. If you don't have ears, then all this is meaningless to you. What time's the football game on today? The fact that you will be amongst the grapes of wrath, crushed at the end of the age, and cast into the lake of fire will be no big deal to you. If you don't have ears to hear, you could care less what I'm saying to you, and you are bored. What can I say to you? Other than the time is coming where people in this world are going to be judged for the things that they've done here on earth. Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether good or bad. But then Paul went on to say this. Next, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul knew what was coming, and he's warning people, you don't want to go through this. You don't want to stand trial before God without your very own defense attorney, the paraclete, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's never lost a case. Hallelujah. Again, look at what happens here in Revelation 14. So the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. Now, I remember going to the track as a kid. I remember races that were 6 furlongs. It was about halfway around the track. Ask Siri or ask your Google assistant how far 1,600 furlongs is. You'd be surprised. Right, 184 miles, approximately 200 miles. It's funny, it's about the length of Jerusalem, north to south. 184 miles up to the bridle. Any people, any horse riders here? How high up? There's one. Sean. How high up is the bridle of a horse? Yeah, I'd say at least. Well, let's hope this horse is a pygmy. Min pin. 4 feet? You say, oh, that's mean. You shouldn't be preaching that, Pastor. Or how could God do? You see, we sang a song of what Jesus did for you. He doesn't want this for you. This is your choice if you end up here. This is your choice if you end up here. Because God's already thrown you the life preserver. His name is Jesus. He's provided the way of escape. You are a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. He's provided a way out. His name is Jesus. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God wants to reconcile you back to him. And his way of doing it is through his son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place. I know this does seem harsh, but that's what's going to happen at the end of the age for rejecting him and rejecting his son. 200 miles of blood up to the bridle of the horse. All because you're upset that God loves you. All because you're upset that God loves you. That's the charge against you. You see, maybe you've never heard that before. That's because Satan has blinded us. And when the smoke clears, the charge against everyone is God loves you. God loves you. Do with that as you will. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. The charge against humanity is God loves you. And he wants to reconcile you back to him. But Satan's blinded that. He's hidden that message. That's ultimately is what it is. People die at the end of the age for refusing the love of God. Where is that in the Bible? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, you read, people perish at the end of the age for refusing the love of the truth. And the Bible says, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie, which earlier in the chapter you read that Antichrist is God, is the lie. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. For all those that refuse the love of Jesus Christ, God is going to force, inspire you to believe Antichrist is God for refusing love. All you had to do is receive him. And that's the great deception. That's why the Bible says the dragon who deceives the whole world. It's all deception. It's all smoke and mirrors. God loves you. I want everyone to see that. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's not what God... Again, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. Okay, let's move on here. Let's move on to chapter 15. We got chapter 15 and half of chapter 16 to get to. Now, chapter 15 has got the heading, The Prelude to the Bold Judgments. Verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the last seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God, or the wrath of God is complete. Now remember, the book's got 21 judgments, seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven, the King James says, vials, or it's a bowl, bowl judgments. Verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. Remember, the beast is the Antichrist. I saw, as it was, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. For who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with a golden sash. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke. Can you imagine this scene? The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. All right, here come the last seven plagues. Now, I would assume that all of your loved ones that have died in the faith will be a part of this and will be able to witness it. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice, or a great voice, out of the temple, saying to the seven angels, go your ways, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So the first went, poured out his vial on the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore on the men who had received the mark of the beast, and upon them that worshipped his image. Okay, first bowl, loathsome sore. It's also the Greek word for an ulcer or cancer. Loathsome, cancerous sores. In other words, the judgment of God, not of man. This is the judgment of God for taking the mark of the beast. From chapter 13, verse 3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. And every living sea creature in the sea died. Now there's the second bowl. Sea turns to blood. The environmentalist's worst nightmare. Every living creature in the sea died. This will make all unbelievers curse God right to his face. Any, I can hear it now. Any God that would kill a whale is not my God. You know, I'll tell you, there's a time to speak And there's a time to just shut your yap and bow the knee and just keep quiet to Almighty God, who does what he pleases in the heavens. That's what they're going to do here. That's what they are doing. Watch what happens. Watch the response of those we're going to see in heaven here in just a minute. Coming up right here, verse 4, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the voice of the angel of the waters saying, thou hast offended me, O Lord. No, wait, that's not what he said. He said, you are righteous. He didn't say, thou hast offended me. How dare you kill the speckled trout? They fall to their knees and say, oh, man, you are righteous. You do as you please. You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and was and is to come. Because you have judged these things, they shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For this is their just due. Field day for Dracula. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Pantocrator, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. That's all he could say, is you just bow. There is a time to just bow the knee to God and just praise him. You're not better than him. That's the same thing he said to Job when they thought they were more righteous than him. Remember what God said to Job? You can read about it in Job 38. You know what he said to him? When they thought they were more righteous than God, that it wasn't fair for them to suffer for no reason. God said to Job and his friends, who was this darkens, that a darkens counsel without wisdom? Who are you to speak up when you don't know? There's a time to be quiet and just humbly bow your knee to Almighty God. There's a reason he's going to do this. We're not qualified to complain to him. We're not. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? That's what he said to Job. When Job thought it wasn't fair. Fourth bowl, men are scorched. Verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And you thought it was hot riding your lawnmower, Darren. The fourth bowl judgment is going to scorch men with great heat. The verse continues, and they blasphemed the name of God who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent to give him glory. See, again, at this point, men and women do not repent because they can't repent. Because repentance is the gift of God. The early church, believe it or not, used to pray for tears of repentance. Repentance is a gift from God. There is no such thing as fire insurance. That is speaking with your mouth what you don't believe in your heart. That's not going to work. You have to have true, genuine repentance. And that's why the early church prayed for tears. People don't repent because they can't repent. Repentance is a gift. I say to you, look around. Look at the 3 billion people in the world without it. Who sin and don't care. Who invite judgment. Who think that ABC Liquors will sell the grapes of wrath by the case. It's not a bottle you can buy. They're not grown in California or in France. It's your blood. Talk about having a pressing engagement. I can't take credit for that one. I saw that on Goldfinger the other day. When the Mr. Goldfinger there took Bond's friend and he had all the gold, he got squished in this car thing, And he says, your friend has got a pressing engagement. Indeed. Here at this point, there's no Holy Spirit to lead you to repentance like you do now. Once the Holy Spirit is gone, not leading you to repentance, then you're just like all the other 3 billion people out here in the world today. Next plague, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial on the seat or the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Verse 11. They blasphemed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Hear it again. No conviction, no repentance. Look around. I recently saw Gloria Steinem wearing a t-shirt that said, I had an abortion and I'm proud of it. Now that is what I'm talking about. That is sinning with no conviction at all. You have an abortion and you're proud of it with a smile on your face. No conviction? I don't care at all. That's running with 3 billion people just like Gloria out here in the world today. They sin and don't care. You've got a pressing engagement coming. But that's not God's will for you. God's will for you, you see, many of us have done things almost as bad or as bad as what Gloria did. Sin is sin to him, just like being a klepto, a secret thief. If you practice a lifestyle like that, you're no different than anyone else. See, that's not God's will for you, is you to be crushed as a grape. God's will for you is to confess and turn and repent of sin and be reconciled back to God, just like the old picture there of Adam and God. That's his will for you. God wants you to be reconciled back to him, not to be a grape of wrath. So number five, bold judgment, revenge on the Antichrist. Number six, one more. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, so that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. Notice that, prepared. Again, God doing all the work. If you remember from chapter 9, that's 200 million men was the size of the army. The kings of the east are the leaders of the kingdoms east of the Euphrates River, China and Japan, and the Korean Peninsula. Verse 13, notice the Trinity, unholy Trinity, that is. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are spirits of devils or demons working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. How? By doing what he always does, lies and deception. Same way he gets you to do things, lies and deception. The power of Satan is the power of the lie and deceiving you. That's why Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the knowledge of the truth that sets you free. Verse 15, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered him together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Again, though, the warning from the Son of God there in verse 15. See, it says, behold. One of my favorite Greek words, the word idu, behold. Behold. I'm coming like a thief. Matthew 24:42, it says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So I leave you with this question today. Are you ready? Do you have a pressing engagement? Or is your name in the book? Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. Gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Up your name, to call on our Savior.